halacha by the Ramah here in Sivav, regarding the case of the mysterious shadim and the braided hair that posed a sakana, whether Mordechai, for three or two reasons, was matir tefillah with those braids. Number one, the formation did not pose a chatitza problem either because it was sufficiently loose or sufficiently tight to not be a chatitza problem. And number two, the suggestion that because there's a sakana in removing them, we're able to say hainu ravise, that becomes part of the body, in the context of tefillah for giyores mu'beres. So the way we prevented it was that the fact that there's sakana in and of itself shouldn't be sufficient to render it a davrish eino makbid, because even if it's a davrish eino makbid, but if sayar is a, if we treat, as many Rishonim do, the Shita Sagonim, we treat hair as a single unit as far as calculating rov and niyot, so very good that you'll call it eino makbid, it's still considered rov. That's why you have to come on to the notion of hainu ravise, that it's not a matter of rov anymore. Hainu ravise, it's part of the body. They didn't even have to come out of the calculations of rov versus niyot. There's a slightly stronger formulation of that in the Orus Arua. The Orus Arua in Simin Shin Samach Beis has the following line. Just like we see the sugya in Yevamos in the context of Tfilas Gioris, that we say Haina Ravise, the Kol Shekein Sa'aro She'eino Ome Ligazes. Kol Shekein, the case of hair, which is never going to be cut off, that's considered part of the guf. It's never going to be cut off. He goes on a little bit. I'm skipping. Since it is impossible to cut off the hair, impossible because of the sakana that I would pose, even though in principle, if all was equal, she really wouldn't care to have this hair braided in an ideal world. Nevertheless, because bottom line, it's not going to be cut because of the sakana, it becomes hainu revise. The ainbo afilu ised derabanan laduno keruban she'eino makbid. You don't even have to come out to an ised derabanan of treating it as a rove she'eino makbid. It's not a rove. The lozlina basaruba de inchi alabarti didei. Okay. So it's not considered a rove. It's considered hainu ravise. It's considered kulo, part of the body. And therefore we don't have to be concerned about chatzitza. The Tzemach Tzedek adds, Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch, in Yerodea Simen Kufnun Ches Ostalid, Tzemach Tzedek Simen Kufnun Ches Ostalid, in his analysis of this position of Mordechai, he adds that there is presumably another sniff here, that given that according to many, some Rishonim, perhaps many Rishonim, that we do calculate but let me restate that. The Tzemach Tzedek says there's an additional consideration here, that even if you're going to go with the Shita Sagaonim, that we view Seyar as an independent unit, and we calculate Ro versus Miyot based on the hair and not based on the entire body, but even in the situation of the braids that the Shadim braided, presumably it's not Kulo, it's only Ro. There are some hairs that are not braided. And as long as there's some hairs that are not braided anyway, we're talking about an Issa Rabbanan, we're talking about, at worst, the Ruba Sheina Makbid, and since it's only an Issa Rabbanan, there's what to be makel about, especially because this whole scenario is a Milsa de la Shchicha, Milsa de la Shchicha la Gazba Rabbanan, so we can throw that into the mix, and not have any reservations about be makel. We say Ukmu Adaraisa in this situation of the shade braids. Okay. Yeah. But practically speaking, it's Eino Makbid. Just like we discussed in the context of where there's a medical situation that prevents you from removing it, or the temporary fill-in according to Moshe, situations where for some external reason you're not going to remove it, even though in an ideal world you wouldn't want it there. In the situation which you're in, you are practically speaking not going to remove it. Okay. I was discussing earlier this year with Rabbi Reese a shaila that he dealt with in Chicago a few months ago. the din is, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos Daf Mem Zayin that whatever are the details of chatzitza for Hilchos Tevila, the same details apply for Tevila Tioris. So whatever constitutes a chatzitza for Taros constitutes a chatzitza for a Gioris. So there is a Gioris who was holding by Geiris at the Bezdin of the CRC, and the Bezdin realized that this woman had what's called a dreadlocks. Anyone know what dreadlocks are? Anyone not know? Okay. So I didn't know what dreadlocks were, at least wasn't familiar with the term until we had this discussion. So, I'm sorry? Yes, I wasn't familiar with the term. Yes, apparently it's pretty widespread in certain communities. So where does that fit into this? Is that analogous to the Mordechai situation? There's no sakana here. But apparently the Mitzvah is such that if you have a woman whose hair was braided in these kinds of dreadlocks, it is basically impossible to undo all the knots and the braids without cutting off the hair. So it's cutting off the hair could be an option. That's what the Pifei Tshuva quotes in a different context of discussion of the discussion of the Chasam Sofer in communities where it's normal for women to shave off their hair after they get married. So does hair itself constitute a chasitza because kol omid ligazes? So Pitzkei Tshuva has that discussion. I forgot what Sifkat in here. And there is such a position that any ger of Yoros has to shave off all their hair before they convert, but that's not generally accepted. So under these circumstances, given the relative impracticality of undoing all the braids, is there what to rely on to allow for tefillah under the circumstances? The particular situation was lenient tefillahs gioras, but presumably the woman would then get married at some point, and it would be relevant for regular tefillahs needed as well. So Rabbi Rizwa, this should be at least analogous to the situation of the Mordechai, perhaps better. That's the thrust of the Mordechai's argument. As far as however you calculate the cheshbonos of whether it is Mehudak or not Mehudak, the first two reasons of the Mordechai, to the extent that we explain the two reasons cover each other, so that should be relevant in other such situations of braids as well. And then as far as the third reason, so Sakana isn't necessarily the thrust of the argument. There may be other situations where you could say Haina Ravise, even if it's not Sakana, because the rationale still applies, that for all intents and purposes it can't be unbraided. In the situation of the Mordechai, it can't be unbraided because of Sakana. Here it can't be unbraided because, practically speaking, it's impossible or can't easily be done. It's never going to be done. So then, perhaps this is analogous to the situation of the Mordechai, and you could allow for tefillah for such a woman. He did raise the issue of the panim de iros here. The panim de iros we briefly referenced at the end of the last chabura in Sifka Den Hei. The Pesach Shuvah Sifkat Dinei goes to Panim Iros about a situation where, for refuah reasons, there needed to be some treatment of the hair, and the treatment of the hair involved some outside other substances that were inserted into the hair. One of the versions is some shavins are into the hair, other external substances. So there, the Panim Iros is concerned about the possibility of a chatzitza, even if there is a refuah consideration which causes the need for inserting this into the hair. But apparently the standard, or there seems to be many ways of making dreadlocks, but they generally don't involve outside substances. The hair is woven or braided onto itself, not with the use of any external substances. So that issue of the Panim Iros wouldn't necessarily be relevant over here. The Pesach Tshuva, the next of Kazan Kosan Chamud de Daniel, that even the situation of the braids where we're making not to be concerned about the chatzitza, still he writes that Tzricha lahashas b'mayim ashi yikanes b'hem b'mayim heitev. You should still soak or stay in the water for a long time so that the hair can get as loose as possible. So Rabbi Rizwa, that should be done here as well. So bottom line, they were makel to be mapil Nisgioris with the dreadlocks, with the Haskama of Rav Schwartz, Yav Bezdin, and Rabbi Willick. I alluded last time to a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak. Apparently there is a story in the Batei Din Rabbanim about, not the Batei Din Rabbanim, it's as well, a little over a year ago, where there was some scandal that the mikveh attendants didn't let a woman who had dreadlocks be tavelis. They wouldn't let her go to the mikveh. That was some media scandal. Anyway, we alluded last time to the tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak, Chelek Aleph Siman Kaf Gimel, where he was addressing a situation that sounds like post facto, meaning the shaila wasn't asked at the time. It was asked, what would you have said? A woman who, during the war, had some precious stone that was embedded under a false cavity, so that she would have access to this precious stone to use for bribing or whatever needs should the need arise. So part of that discussion is whether you can make an analogous argument that there you have a situation of sakana, and the makam sakana, we're not concerned about a chatzitza. I mean, the sakana renders it eino makvid, and in that particular situation it's even better than the Mordechai's case because it's a miyad, anyway you slice it. We're not talking about hair, so anyway you slice it, that false cavity is a miyad of the whole body. So it's a miyad she'ena makvid, even though we're machmir in general, l'chachila by a miyad she'ena makvid, that we remove it, but under extenuating circumstances, since that's only a chumrah, there's what to be mekel about, and these are definitely extenuating circumstances. It would be that she put her life in danger by revealing the fact that she has this this false cavity, and that would be a super sakana. So no worse than miyad she'ena makvid, that you should be able to be mekel about. Yoni. The sakana. So the way he presents it, I'm sorry. No, but also he presents it that if every time she's going to go to the mikveh, she's going to have it removed by a professional. So the fact that she's holding on to this, illegal material during the war could put her life in danger. And the fact that she has this could be revealed, and her life could be in danger because she has it. That's one line. It sounds like that's part of their concern. So between the consideration of balua, that is under the tooth, and the consideration of the yishena makrin, and the consideration of sakana, Dain Weiss is a makel on this question. Okay. The Gemara Daf Samach Zayin here, Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, has a series of memros that more or less are reflected lalach in the next few Se'ifim in Tibbukos Sadiches, in Zayin through Siftes. So we take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara has Amar Rami Bar Abba, Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, Hani Ravdi Di Kusilta, Atala Sayomi Lochaitzi Mikai Me Lochaitzi. So the first memro is about Ravdi the Kusilta. Rashi explains when your make is dam and you let blood, so then there's some kind of a scab that forms over the area where the prick was made. Other Rishonim learn that it may refer to dry blood. So that is considered a chatzitza at least from day 3 and on. According to Rashi, day 3 and on, the scab already forms, that becomes a chatzitza. That's Maimer number 1. Maimer number 2, Amar Ukva Liflof Shaba'ayin, so you have crust in the eye. Lach in a chotez yavish chotez. So the Gemara distinguishes between lach and yavish. Lach does not constitute a chatzitza. Amos ha'nifra yavish mishasha maskal liyarek. Okay, then Maimer number 3. Amar Shmuel, kachol shebesocha ayin, the rouge in the eye, ein a chotez. Mishal gabe ayin is chotez. If it's above the eye, then it is chotzeitz. Ema yoyne porchos, afilu agave ayin ena chotzeitz. And if her eyes blink furiously, if she's a rapid blinker, so then even agave the ayin is not going to be chotzeitz. Okay, and then memory number 4, Amrav Yochanan, Paschai Nevi Yoser, Asmai Nevi Yoser, she opens her eyes excessively, closes her eyes excessively, lo also a tefillah, the tefillah doesn't count. Okay, so we have four maimers here. Number one, Ravdi de Kusilta. Number two, Liflof Shabayin. Number three, Kachol Shabayin. And number four, Paschai Nevi Yoser. And then the way we have the Gemara goes on, Amr Shlakish, Isha lo tipol alek der gdei lasa. So what's the position that the body should take when a woman goes to the mikvah? Okay, so the way we have it, four maimers, and then another maimer of Eish Lakish. Tosos here, Dibur Maskil Paschai Neha, the second Dibur Maskil Paschai Neha, quotes a girsa from Rabbeinu Chananel in the Gaonim that adds a line that we do not have in our Gemara. The Rabbeinu Chananel, the way Tosos presents it, right after maimer number four, Paschai Nevi Yoser, Asmai Nevi Yoser, the Gemara has the following line. Les hilchasa kachol hanish maisasa. We do not paskin like all these maimras. Dechi itmar hani letaras. Avalabaila tahora. Because these maimras that we just quoted, they're only relevant leinyan taros, but not leinyan heter labaila. Okay, so that line that we don't have in our Gemara, but the Gaonim had, is saying those last four maimers are not lahalacha, they're lahalacha in the context of taros, but not lahalacha in the context of labaila. There is an alternate version of the of this girsa that you have in some of the Chachmei Sfard that just says, les hilchasakokha hanishmaisa, period. That we don't paskin like these maimras, even the Inyan Taros, it sounds like. But the more prevalent girsa that the Tosfos presents over here is less hilchas kachol hanishmaisa. Only the Inyan Taros are they true, but not the Inyan Heter Levaila. Okay? And Tosfos presents a number of kashas on this girsa, which is why we don't have in the Gemara, why Tosfos doesn't have in the Gemara. However, and then he quotes Rashi and the Chuvas Rashi as well, that Rashi held all these halachos are halacha even le'inyan baila. Then Tosfos presents the Shita Rabbeinu Tam, who agreed with Rabbeinu Chananel that this is only relevant le'inyan taros and not le'inyan heter le'baila. And that's how the Rambam seems to pass it as well. The Rambam in Perek Beis Mitzvos Halacha Kaf Beis. So in the previous halacha, Salacha Kafi talks about scabs or scratches. Halacha Kavalvi talks about kachol. Halacha Kafbeis, Paschai Nevi Yoser. So he has three of those four maimers. He doesn't have Liflof Shabayim, so that's a discussion you probably saw in the Beis Yosef. Why not? We'll come back to that. And then the rabbi concludes, B'medvar Mamurim L'inyan Taros. So what are we talking about in the previous halakha? That's only le'inyan taras. Aval la'atir le'baila, harei zu muteres. But as far as heter le'baila, this woman is muteres, even if she has the srita and the kachal, and if she was poseach pasachas ein habiyoser. Why? These are only chatzitzos midirabanan. Le'inyan taros gazru, le'inyan be'ila lo gazru. And the gzeir derabanan only apply le'inyan taros, not le'inyan heter le'baila. So says the Rambam. The Kaf Mishnah, but he tells us just raised the issue, why do the Rambam leave out Liflof? So the Kaf Mishnah thinks that maybe Liflof is included in Seret, but it's not a deliberate exclusion. Others suggest that maybe there is a distinction between Liflof and the other cases. But either way, the Rambam is saying that at least as far as some of these halakhos are concerned, they're only relevant in Yataros, they're not relevant in Iser Labayla, because these are only the Rabbanans, and lo gazru in our situation. The formulation of Tosis in Yevamos, Mem Zayin and Mebeis, Dibur Maskel V'chol Davar. Tosis here, Mem Zayin and Mebeis, Yevamos, Dibur Maskel V'chol Davar, says that the reason we distinguish between, or the situation in which you distinguish between Taras and Baila, is only by a Safek Chatzitza. So within the Shitas HaGaonim, the Shitas HaRambam, what is the Tzad HaShava between these cases, and why is it that we would say that here these are only the Rabbanans that don't apply Le'inyan Isser Labayla, but clearly other Rabbanans do, meaning that the Rambam is not suggesting, there's no indication, any of these Rishonim suggest, that the whole notion of Rubo Shein HaMakbid, or Miyat HaMakbid, which is only the Rabbanan, only applies L'inyan Taras, not L'inyan Yisra L'Baila. No one says that, as far as I'm aware. So what is the Tzad HaShava between these cases here in the Gemara that, according to Manu Yishonim, are not Chotzis L'inyan Yisra L'Baila, and other Rabbanans that are? Of another Dabaran, and the Mira Makud. They don't have a Ramban, Rashba, Ritva. Okay, so we'll come back to that in a minute. Beis Yosef, well, someone's pulling it up. Beis Yosef quotes here from the Mordechai, quotes from the Urayim, that even those who are Goreis, the Giras of HaGaonim, only assume that way as a Bidiyevin matter. Meaning that even that position would agree that Lechachila, even Le'inyan Iser Labaila, a woman should be makbid on these kinds of chatzitzos. It's only in a bidi'evit situation where she already was kaveles that we would not be makbid. Beis Yosef quotes that from the Mordechai. You don't see that so clearly in the other Rishonim. Beis Yosef writes there that he thinks that is the Shita of HaRambam as well. He says Kenir Meram, something like that. So I'm not sure exactly what he's focusing on in the Lashon HaRambam. But the simple presentation of that Girsa Rabbeinu Chananel is that even as a lechachila matter, these things are not matters of concern when it comes to Iser Labaila. So lehalacha. Lehalach and Shulchan Aruch. So what do we have here? Sif Zayin is Halach of Kechlof. Sif Ches is Halach of Kechol. And Sif Ches is the Halach of Dam Yavesh Sha'al Hamaka. So all these three halachas are presented as posing chatzitza problems labayla without any qualification, without any indication of the contrary shita in Rishonim and Gaonim. So that's the bottom of the Shach over here in Sivkati New Gimel, where the Shach quotes a slew of Rishonim who assume, like the Girsa Rabbeinu Chananel, that this whole sugi is only Le'inyan Taras and not Le'inyan Isser Labayla. And he wonders why the Shulchan Aruch doesn't give more credibility to that position here. And he concludes that even though it is a case, the Shach thinks Mikra didn't push comes to shove, that sheet in Rishonim, that this only Lataris is fundamentally correct. Nevertheless, we're machmir at a deference to the other position, but the Shach says that where a woman went to the mikvah with one of these kinds of chatzitos of Siv Zayin Chastes, and there's no possibility of her being Tavelis again, then there's what to be make on to rely on this position in Rishonim, that the whole sugi here is only Linyan Taris and not Linyan Baila. Thanks. Now, the Shach does note, however, and we should note, that... oh, can you not take notes while I'm holding here? All right, but just bring it back in 2 minutes. You can sit there. Sorry. The Shach, you put it up. Bring it up on the screen if you want. The Shach notes that if you look in later in the Siman, so there are four halachas here back-to-back in the Gemara. Only three of them are quoted in the beginning of the Siman. What about the fourth halacha of not to be otsemes einaha b'yoser, not to close your eyes too strongly? That's only later in the Siman. Take a look at the if lamites. So Mechaber writes in Sif Lamites, Lo satsim einaha b'yoser, the al tivchasein b'yoser. So a woman shouldn't close her eyes too hard, and she shouldn't open them too hard. And if she did so, yesh omrim shelo also la tvila. Some say the tvila is no good. So what's noteworthy here? I'm sorry? Or the fact that he even gives credence to that position. Right. In Siv Zayin Chastes, there's no mention of the contrary position. And here, it's presented as the non-Yesh Omrim. Yesh Omrim, Shalos, Salat, Tefillah, so that's the position that these halachas are all relevant to the Baila as well. Right, so that's what the Shach kind of notes by the Messiah in that Se'if, that maybe the Mechaber fundamentally is acknowledging the Machlokas Rishonim here. Why he only acknowledges it or references it later and not earlier, the Shach doesn't suggest. But he seems to note that if you look at everything as one, if you look at the whole big picture, the Mechaber seems to be acknowledging that position as well. Okay. Okay, so the Ramban has the following line. Probably even set up. Is there a button to put that down?
Yeah.
Okay, you're very happy. So the Ramban has the following line. Hadar Minan, the Ramban here on the side of an Aleph, the first Hebrew Masa.
Yeah.
So Rabban writes, Had Amrinan Velev Hilkasaka Tol Hanishmaisa El Ki Had Amrish Lakish Isha Latitbal El Derekidelasa. So this girsa of the Ramban is the second flavor that we mentioned earlier, where there's no restriction to Taurus, but there's a Lila, it's a blanket, Velev Hilkasaka Tol Hanishmaisa. That these four memers are not lalach in any context, even in the context of Isser Levila. Okay, so that's the girsa that the Ramban has. So he writes, Lav lememra dahanach pligan ad reish lakish. So then the Gemara follows these four memers with the memra of reish lakish, that a woman should be tavelas derech kedelasa. So this girsa of les hilchasa doesn't mean that there's a machlokas between the previous nemras and Reish Lakish, because they're not really talking about the same thing. The efshar is nirvayu isnu. It could be that we assume like both nemras, both the nemra of Reish Lakish and the earlier nemras. Elagamarka amar the les hilchasa kachol hanishnaisa. The lomas marina and kulei hai the bias mayim. What's the Gemara saying? That we're not so machmir in bias mayim. The dvarim shadarkan leos the oso mako. So we're not as machmir about the requirement of bias mayim by things that are normally found in that area. So this line the Ramban seems to be saying, the reason that we don't pass in like the previous Meiros is that, let's say, the Lifl of Shabayin. The Lifl of Shabayin is something that is normally there. It's fundamentally, it's not something that you necessarily would be mocked about. So it may fundamentally be even a Miya She'ena Mocked. So there's no need to be machmir on the requirement of bias mayim under that lifla shevaayim. So it sounds like these things are somewhat of a lower grade chatzisa, things that are normally found on the body, a scab, a lifla shevaayim. These are things that are normally found, and therefore are a lower level of chatzisa that is subject to machlokas here, whether were even concerned at all. So this is within that girsa that rejects the previous Meimra's legamri. But at least what you see from here, I think the Deyur in the back of the Masifta Gemara, I think may be saying this. And he quotes this line, makes that observation, and then he says that it could be the common denominator between at least these three cases, leaving out of Tima Tainayim, is that these are things that are normally found on the guf, and maybe some kind of a lower grade chatzitza. So conceivably, one could say that we're only going to be machmir since the ikra din, it doesn't pose a chatzitza problem. It's not even a standard miyat hamakbid. They're only going to be machmir linyan taros, and now linyan erso l'vayla. Yeah.
Is he saying
to me it's Shemina Makbid? He doesn't spell it out. No, I mean, it could be even if it's a Makbid on some level, but because it's normal, so we're not concerned about that kind of a Kepeda. Yeah.
I'm pretty okay that we'll be Oshis, so we'll be seeing following Grandma's category, like a
presumably it would.
Okay.
It should be no worse than that. Maybe we could argue otherwise. Yeah.
And one more, your possible suggestion, I'm getting that, I shouldn't say it, but these things are like by nature are going to be immediate, or like your eyes and then it's going to be immediate.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that's like, well, you're talking about written how like your ropes get as you probably die, I don't know.
Right.
So like, if like by nature they're automatically immediate, then there's no, like the highest, you know, like, I got another ghost, whereas with the other things, like, you get a lot of dirt, a little dirt, or a lot of grades,
I mean, you could say milsel l'shticha l'gazru to say that because the gzeira is only unto a rove and it's impossible that it would ever be a rove.
The other, it could be this unto another thing.
Right.
Question like, oh, unto dirt which is a rove, but if it's only within a category, then.
Right. I don't know if you find such a distinction in poskim along those lines. I'm not sure. Okay, so that's a suggestion. It's the sadashav. It still doesn't necessarily explain. But even at Tzimut Seinayim, some have this Les Hilchasa Kachol Hanish Maisa before at Tzimut Seinayim. So it could be that there's less to distinguish there as well. Okay. Now what is, maybe it's going a little bit out of order, what is the concern about at Tzimut Seinayim? And Rashi writes, "Pashchei Nevi Yoser, Havya Chatzitza Lamala, and Atmei Nevi Yoser, Havya Chatzitza Lamata." So if she opens her eyes too wide, it's a chatzitza lamala. If she closes her eyes too tight, it's a chatzitza lamata. How did you understand that? Yeah.
I mean, either way, your skin folds and you like open too much, your skin
right.
folds and it'll be a chatzitza like. If you close it too mm-hmm. much, it'll be a chatzitza.
Right, so the issue is not inside the eye, but outside of the eye.
Yeah.
Right. The concern is that if you're going to open your eye too wide, so you may be covering up the area on the top, and if you're closing it too wide, you may be creating folds over your eye as well. Yoni?
No.
Okay. That's what Rashi understands at Sima Sinayim and Sicha Sinayim. If you look at the Meiri here, there seems to be another possibility that the concern of Atzimas Einayim is more relevant to inside the eye as opposed to outside of the eye. That if you're going to close the eye too much, too tight, so then in general you need Ra'i Levias Mayim. So you need the possibility that water can come into the eye. So if you're closing it too tight, then you minimize that possibility of water coming into the eye. The Rishonim are bothered here. Within the position that we're makel on Atzimas Einayim, in that position of the Rabbeinu Chananu Ludimei, that we're Mechel and Atzima Sinai, and they're bothered, why is that different, or how is that different than Karta Sif Soseha? So if you look in Sif Lamed Hey, the Mishnah in Periches of Mikvos has a din that Karta Sif Soseha, if you close your lips too tight, that poses a problem for Tevila. And that's Paskin and Shulchan Aruch in Sif Kavzayin. Nath Nasara Befi, if she puts her hair in her mouth, or Karta Sif Soseha, or she closes her lips too tight, so that the water is unable to go in. Lo also lo tefilas. That's a mishnah b'fereshes. That's not a member of an amora. That's a mishnah b'fereshes. That karta sif soseha is a problem. So the rishonim here are bothered. What's the difference between karta sif soseha and atzma ina? Atzma ina seems to be a machlokas. Whether we're even concerned about that lahalacha by a isser labayla, as opposed to karta sif soseha, which is a halacha psuka. So the Rashba, the Ramban, asked a question here, and they provide the following answer, that when it comes to Karsa Sif Soseha, so there, they understood our din of Atzima Seinayim like Rashi. So then the two halachos are really talking about two different cases. Karsa Sif Soseha is that you're closing your mouth so tight that it's not even Roy Lubias Mayim. As opposed to Atzimas Einayim, where the problem is that you're creating these kamatim, you're creating these folds external to the eye on the outside. When you're opening or closing your eye too tight, then you're creating the folds on the outside. So that would be the difference between Karta Sif Soseha and Atzimas Einayim. What about if you learn that the Atzimas Einayim is, the way we said from the Meiri, an internal problem, that if you're going to close your eye too tight, then the water is not going, it's not even Roy Lubias Mayim. So what the Meiri seems to suggest as far as distinguishing between Atzimas Einayim and Karta Sif Soseha is that when it comes to the mouth, so having your mouth closed tight is not a default position. It's not normal to have your mouth closed tight. When it comes to your eyes, so it's a normal reaction to close your eyes when you're underwater. So that's more derek edelasa. That's more than normal. We'll see later, just in the next wave of the Gemara Beis Lakish of derek edelasa. That's more derek edelasa. That's more normal to close your eyes if you're underwater, as opposed to closing your mouth tight. Yeah. The Meiri said, right. So how does he understand the din of Sichas Einayim V'Yoser? Okay. But I guess we'll stop here. Next time, we'll go back and guess pick up with Stiv Zayin Ches Tes and continue going on in Shulchan Aruch from there.